Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of Backstage Chicago. I'm Lisa Fielding with WBBM News Radio. And this week, we take a drive down to Joliet on the famous Route 66 inside the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum, which is a work in progress. We're going to talk all about it. And the man of the hour for this podcast is Ron Romero. Hi, Ron. Thanks so much for being part of this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So, Ron, for folks who don't know who you are, we've interviewed you a few times for WBBM News Radio about your project here. But we want to hear all about how this dream became a reality. Tell us about yourself, and we'll go from there.
So, crazy idea in 2013 to put together a museum, and it was just thoughts. And then I wanted to put together an exhibit and take it to another museum. And when I went to that museum, they suggested that this is bigger than what we have space for. Why don't you create your own? So, we took their advice. Their president of that museum actually helped me put together the very first board of directors. And since 2017, we've been moving forward. In 2019, we bought the building, and we've been renovating it. And I know you've been here a couple of times, so after this, I'm sure I'll give you a tour, and you'll probably see some of the updates that we've been busy.
But you're a local musician anyway. Kind of tell me why you thought this was something that not only Illinois needed, but something that music buffs and, you know, aspiring musicians, young people, just anyone kind of needed, and why you thought this was something that you kind of wanted to take on for yourself.
It's just a love of music, and I've been playing for many, many years. And I thought it would be easier than moving gear from gig to gig, but I learned it's harder to build a museum than it is to move gear. I just really appreciate the music from all the musicians. And the thesis that we took to the other museum as an exhibit was basically how Illinois music has inspired the rest of the world, and it really has. And nobody has really claimed that yet. So I took it upon myself to say, hey, we're going to claim our, you know, rightful heritage to all this great music and build a house where everybody can come and see and learn about it.
And you mentioned some museums that you had visited to kind of spark this idea. Tell me a little bit about some of the spaces that you visited that kind of gave you that idea that, hey, Illinois needs something like this.
Well, I love museums of any sort. But we've been to, in Arizona, they have a really nice musical instrument museum, very throughout decades and decades of different types of world music. Of course, Cleveland, you know what they're doing, but they're looking at music from around the world. But what a great inspiration to say, hey, this is more Illinois. And of course, you know, Nashville has so many museums down there, individual artists or, you know, Music Hall of Fame, Musicians Hall of Fame is down there, all sorts of things. But one of the ones that really tipped me over was Rick Nielsen's exhibit.
Rick's Picks.
Rick's Picks.
Yes.
And I think we talked about that. You were there, right? You
did go? Yeah.
Oh, so when the day that I went, there was a bus tour that came through, and the people had flown in from Japan and went to the airport, took the bus to there. And when I walked in, I'm like, these people are coming from halfway around the world to look at one of the artifacts of one great band from Illinois. And, you know, granted, it's Cheap Trick. It is a great band. But when you start thinking about all the other great bands that we have here, I thought right away this would be a great economic engine for the area here and for the state of Illinois and for Joliet and Will County. And, you know, just to have that recognition for the music.
That's a big dream. So how do you put a big dream? You talked a little bit at the beginning about buying the building, things like that. But what was step one really to realize this dream?
Well, I suppose putting a committee together, making it a board, filing for a nonprofit organization status, just doing the business end first. We were doing fundraising before we had a building. And it's hard to raise money for an idea.
Yep.
And it gets easier when you see now we have a building, now we have people supporting, and then it starts, we're warming up and it's starting to snowball a little bit. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot to do. And it's been so long. Mostly it was just paperwork to start with.
Okay. And getting Joliet, the city, on board, right?
Yeah. City of Joliet likes what we're doing here. We get more support from a lot of the companies, like individual companies, not individual companies, but corporates. Like Commonwealth Edison donated money for our lighting. IBEW, a lot of the union trades are helping out. There's somewhere between $600,000 and $650,000 in the building right now, all donated from local trade unions, from corporations. And we have now 600 charter members from 26 states and now two countries.
Wow, that's
so
really wonderful.
We're expanding.
Now, tell us about this building. Describe it. How big is it? Where is it? And what are kind of the first things that you put together here when you started to really put this dream together here?
So this building was built in 1930. We're located on the crossroads of Route 66 and US 30. They actually dubbed this area as the crossroads of Mid-America.
Okay.
We're in the heart of downtown Joliet. And the reason why we chose Joliet is because we're close to a lot of highways, I-80, 55, 57, Route 6, Route 30. There's a brand new train station. There's a brand new bus station. So we're the third largest city in the state now. So there's good reason to come here to this area. It's easy to get to. That's kind of where we started, why we chose this area and why we started to build it out.
And Route 66, obviously a famous thoroughfare, and a lot of people take trips just to go through, do that experience, and you guys are one of the stops there. You will be.
Well, truthfully, we have people stopping now that come through from all over. They know about us. They know that we're closed. Sometimes they'll knock on the door. Can we come by and take a look and see what you're doing, kind of thing. But we've had people that have come in here from around the world to come into. The Route 66 is such an attraction that there's groups from the Czech Republic and from Australia, and that they have like this vision of Route 66 as a, maybe an American iconic dream or something.
A bucket list.
Yeah. I talked to an economic development director one time, and I said, I wonder if people in Paris, if they realize that's the Eiffel Tower that they see every day. I think we just take for granted what we have in our own backyard. And in this case, we have, a very historic area, the Route 66 and of course, Route 30 here.
So when we think about museums, specifically musician and music museums, we think of memorabilia. I know you're going to have that, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But your dream has a lot more than just that. It's about music education, arts and culture, all that kind of thing. So tell me about how you decided to branch out beyond just the stuff.
Yeah. Good question. The idea, the concept about what we're doing right now is basically that we want to honor and preserve the music history from Illinois, but we also want to help help grow musicians from Illinois. You can make a living at being a musician, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be the rock star. You could be the producer. You could be the light guy engineer. You could be the sound engineer. We want to be able to teach those different types of skills. We have experienced instructors that'll come through and teach that, as well as instrument lessons and things like that as well. So we want to kind of give that music education. It seems to be falling out of schools. Unfortunately, it's the first thing to get cut because everybody wants to stick with the standard education core. But music is really important.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of our game, our idea here.
And that is your first floor, your basement floor? Tell me
lower
about that.
Lower level, yeah. Okay. So the lower level has two sides to it. One side has lesson rooms where we could take students and teach them individual lessons. There's a control room down there for sound engineering and recording. And then the other side is performance, where we can actually, it's set up with a stage and seats about 85, but we can take students down there and do classroom and teach them songwriting or teach them publishing or something in a classroom setting, or actually have them perform. They take the individual lessons. Now we want to put them with a group to get that performance experience. That area will also give us an opportunity to do small shows down there, maybe some intimate acoustic shows or something. It's fully loaded with sound, lighting, We work with a couple of local colleges here in Joliet. They have some music programs, and you know, they bring their interns through here. Now we have them coming through and helping out, setting things up and working on projects.
Let's talk about some of the Illinois musicians, music bands that that we all know, of course. But I think when I went on your website, I realized there were so many more that I didn't know that were from Illinois. So how did you decide to come up with not really a list, but really who are we going to showcase, or who, you know, I would say any musicians from Illinois will be showcased. How did you decide kind of who you were going to include in here initially?
Well, you know, we want to be inclusive of everybody. And despite the name being rock and roll, we touch on country and blues and jazz and gospel and everything. So anything music from Illinois, that's kind of, you know, where we started at. It's so limitless. I mean, it just goes on and on. And like you said, you know, you've been in radio a long time, right? You know radio, you know musicians, you know that kind of stuff. Me too. I mean, I've played and I've loved the history, but there's nothing better than looking and doing research and going, hey, that person's from Illinois. I didn't know that. I've learned so much. Yeah.
From Illinois, you say, oh, did you know REO Speedway? That's from Illinois. Did you know Styx is from Illinois? I'm from Illinois.
Yeah.
People equate that partnership and that loyalty, and you're proud of kind of your native sons and daughters that come from Illinois and maybe make it big or make it to the stage, even next door in the next town or whatever, you know?
Well, you know, you were a major part of our event that we did, our Hall of Fame. And just being there that night for me was just so electrifying. It's with your help of bringing in all the, not, I want to say all the important DJs, but a lot of DJs came. There's so many more DJs that we need to make a part of this as well. But to be backstage with, you know, one of the guys from the Buckinghams or the Ides of March or, you know, anybody that was there, of course, Kevin Cronin from REO, what an honor and a pleasure. And I told a story too that, well, we were downstairs in the green room. I love this story because I'm geeking out because I'm down there with Kevin Cronin and Jim Peterik, two of my all-time favorite heroes. And Kevin Cronin's kind of geeking out because he's there with Jim Peterik saying, I remember going to see you at this place and I remember how much you influenced me. And I think that's what music is, you know.
Absolutely.
No matter what level you're at, there's always somebody that's going to influence
Let's
you.
Rewind about that Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You and I were both there, so we're kind of talking about it. But let's tell people about how that all came about and how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was a partnership and kind of an expansion of the museum. Let's go back and talk about how that began and how it culminated into a huge event at the end of August.
Yeah, so that was planned for 2020, of March of 2020, about 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after we got shut down because of COVID.
But you said let's have a Hall of Fame within.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about how that came about.
So I don't know, how do you have a museum without the Hall of Fame? We've got to have that. There's a lot of people that are the musicians, and there's certain criteria to be into that, and people can see that when they go to our website. The nominations are currently open for the next set of Hall of Famers, but basically, you've got to have some significant impact in music from Illinois. You have to be in the business at least 20 years, has to be DJ, has to be an individual musician, has to be a band. So those kind of criteria that we do. So the general nomination process is open up to the general public. It goes to a committee to make sure that everybody's eligible. It's been nominated. And then it goes to our charter membership to vote in who's going to become the next part of the Hall of Fame. And that's the process that we took the first time. I want to say there were 4,000 people that made general nominations. Wow. Out of that, we had 800 unique nominations, meaning there were 800 different individuals or bands or whatever that were nominated.
All from Illinois.
All from Illinois.
Amazing.
And then we had to whittle that down to a ballot of about 21, which was a very difficult situation. And you know, I suppose any Hall of Fame, anybody would get flack. You know, well, why isn't this person in? Why didn't this person get in? There were a lot of people that are due to get in here. But that event is a very important fundraiser for us as well. That helps us to build this house to house the music from Illinois. So the ticket sales and people had come through and bought merchandise. We sold out of merchandise in a heartbeat. And so all of that money that comes in goes directly to the museum, building the museum.
A highlight from the Hall of Fame induction at the Rialto in August was a performance by Illinois' own native son, Kevin Cronin, lead singer of REO Speedwagon. The other members of the band that night were sidelined by COVID, so Cronin was backed by a local young cover band, the Millennials.
This particular ceremony, I said, I need some young blood, man. I want some young, hungry musicians here. And so I got the Millennials back in the uptown.
I somehow even became a backup dancer on stage during a rockin' rendition of Roll with the Changes, a moment these young musicians and I certainly won't soon forget. Well, let's talk about if those walls could talk. Huh. And if you went in the basement of the Rialto, you could see all these signatures of all the different artists that have been there over the years. Tell me a little bit about the history of that and why it made it so special to really have the Hall of Fame, the Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, in the Rialto, knowing how many musicians came before you on that stage.
So the Rialto was built in 1926. It's a very ornate, probably one of the state's most beautiful theaters, built by the same group that did Chicago Theater. And the people who have graced that stage, they do tours on Tuesday where they take people through and show you the backstage of the area, the Rialto and such. And I highly suggest taking it because you do get to see those signatures on there. And it's the same thing. It's, you know, you go through that stuff and it's like, wow, look at these signatures. Look who's been here. You know, everything from
all over the wall in the basement.
All over. And it's everything from, you know, I want to say that it was old vaudevillian back in the day where they had maybe the Marx Brothers were on there on that stage at one time. And then, you know, we just saw Martina McBride there recently, and Kansas has been there. And the list is endless. It's a beautiful theater. And it was real important. For us, you know, we have to make that first impression with our Hall of Fame. And we couldn't have thought of a better place to go to than the Rialto, because I think that really makes a big statement for
Let's
us.
Let's name off who made the ballot for 2020.
You're going to ask me who made the ballot, and I don't remember. There are 21,
okay, I'll help
but I
you.
Can tell you, I could tell you who actually got nominated, or not nominated, who got
inducted. Yes, we know.
So that we know was Cheap Trick, REO, Buddy Guy, Muddy Waters, Ides of March, the Buckinghams. WLS AM. We had Dick Biondi, Larry Lujack, and who else?
Chess Records.
Thank you very much.
And let's talk about Chess. You're going to have an exhibit about Chess Records.
Yeah.
And that's so cool as well, is knowing the history of that and really the just the statement that they made in the Chicago area back in the day.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I said, the thesis was, what did Illinois do for music that influenced the rest of the world? And you can't be more influential than what happened at Chess Records, because we started out with people like Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon, and wrote all those great songs that went off to be hits for the Rolling Stones and for Led Zeppelin and all these other people as well. But I don't know if you knew this, but Chuck Berry, of course, was from St. Louis. But he recorded at Chess Records. That's where all his big hits were recorded at, is at Chess Records. And so that history, you know, I know Cleveland claims that they are the, you know, creators of rock and roll. But take a look at what happened here at Chess Records with, you know, with Chuck Berry, and, you know, how we changed, how we had a really big country scene here in Illinois. We had the biggest radio station for country for a long time before Nashville. And we also had the best blues, in my opinion, my honest opinion. Best blues was, you know, coming from Chicago, which was transplants from a lot of people coming from the South playing acoustic. But when they came to Chicago, they plugged in, they had a drummer and a bass player and a singer, and it became a little, you know, hotter, grittier. It, became Chicago blues. And you marry that country with that blues, and you give birth to rock and roll.
And tell us a little bit about some of the exhibits that you plan to, we talked about chess, but what else is going to be here, and some of the memorabilia that you've already gotten, or some of the things that you're planning on getting here. What will people see once this is all finished?
So we have it laid out so that the first floor starts on blues. And the reason I chose that is that when you go to Chess Records, there's a sign on the wall that's a quote from Willie Dixon that says that blues is the roots and the rest is the fruits. And I kind of feel that way. So the first floor is kind of our foundation for the story. We talk about the great migration of the African-American community coming from the South, bringing a great solo acoustic blues, making it into electric blues and at places like Maxwell Street, then being recorded at Chess Records and a lot of other wonderful record companies back at the time, and then getting out to the world. So that's what we're going to do on the first floor, is talk about blues. Second floor is pretty much the rest of our exhibit space. I should say majority of our exhibit space. That will be rock and roll, punk, gospel, anything else you can think of. And then the third floor will have a performance venue. It'll be our Hall of Fame, and then there'll be additional exhibits up there as well. So, yeah, quite a bit.
So tell us your progress so far. Every time I come to visit, you've got lots more done, and that's always a good thing.
I like hearing that, because I'm here day to day, and I always think we're not doing enough. But truth be told, it's, you know, I see this now. When you look at the before pictures, this was a shell of a building. It started out as what was called the White Store. There's a gentleman by the name of White that came in and created this dry goods store, basically, in the 1930s. In the 1950s through, I think, early 60s, it was Goldblatt's. After that, it became what was it? It was a Buy-Right furniture store. So it wasn't necessarily a really... what do I want to say? Well put together building. Like the infrastructure of the building is really good. It's made out of fire block. It's real solid. Our architect is like, yeah, you got the right building. It's not going anywhere
soon. How many square feet is this?
Almost 30,000 square feet. So yeah. And if you can imagine, we have to renovate 30,000, all of it. So we started out, when we got here, there were no walls. There was no flooring. The lights were old fluorescent lighting. That was one of the first things that we got was a grant to replace the lighting in here and put all LED gallery lighting and stuff. But then we got a grant to put in flooring, and we had another company come in and do painting on the ceilings and start building walls. And it's just been, it takes a long time to do that. You know, in my vision, it was like, okay, next year we're going to open this up and we'll be ready to go. Right. And then when you really, you know, put your feet in the water, it's like, this is a pretty deep pool. There's a lot to do. So, you know, we're still going at it. And the good thing is the support has been phenomenal. We continue to grow our membership. We still look for people that are help us with the fundraising. Donors, either corporate or private donors, come in, and we're still in need of that. We still have a lot more to do, but it's a great project to be involved with.
Let's talk about membership.
Yeah.
What does that mean? How can people get involved? Why should they get involved? And how does that help you substantially with this?
So a lot of the questions for that can be answered by going to our website, which is roadtorock.org. That's roadtorock.org. And basically, having the membership, it's a constant support from the membership. The membership fees help to pay bills, the utilities, to keep us going, to keep the day-to-day things. And then the donors and things like that help us to pay for, you know, if there's something that we need to get wiring or something or whatever it may be, they help us with that kind of stuff. And then the corporate donors also, you know, like Mohawk and the flooring guys came in and donated the flooring to us. They looked at the gift shop area and said, what are you going to do for the rest of the floor up here? And I said, as it comes, you know. And the gentleman said, okay, we're coming back next week. We're going to measure the rest of this floor and we're going to take care of it for you.
Nice.
So likewise with, you know, companies like ServPro and ComEd, and there's, you see a list back here on over my shoulder of people that have helped out with this. It's a growing list.
And are there membership levels?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. That was the original question, wasn't it?
Yes. That's okay.
Sorry. ADD kicking.
No problem.
So the membership levels start out as individuals annually. You can get families, and then you can go to lifetime memberships too. There are discounts for seniors, for military. So you can go on the website and see that on there as well. It's as It's as low as $35 for an individual per year. It's not that much. But when you add up all the people that we have, it helps us so much. And a lot of those 35, after the first year or so, they've converted to lifetime members. Lifetime membership for individual and what we're calling our charter membership. Now, let me explain a charter membership. That means the people who are really helping to get us off the ground. Once we're open and a year past that, we're going to change our membership dues. It'll go up to be higher. But anybody who's become a charter member will remain a charter member as long as they keep their membership up. There's some benefits to doing that, which is a lot of discounts at local stores and restaurants. Joliet downtown has a lot of phenomenal restaurants. I don't know that we hit our, I don't want to say our mark. I don't think people know about that yet. But there is Italian food. There's Korean barbecue. There's Venezuelan food here, Mexican food. All the restaurants are fantastic down here. And I think that's going to be another big attraction for this area.
Partnerships.
A lot, yeah. Everybody who's involved, you know, I go to all the businesses and I say, help us get our membership up. Can you donate 10% off on a meal or $5 off on a meal? And they've agreed to do that. And in return, all our membership that comes here, even now that come through to see what we're doing, go to the restaurants. The Hall of Fame, when we held that, we filled the restaurants up here. Oh. So we want to do that on a consistent basis. It'll be good for the economy around here and for the community and, you know, kind of a give and take. You know, we help the community and they're helping us.
And you've got some famous faces on your board, you know, who've been involved. And you mentioned Jim Peterick earlier. Kind of let everyone, if people don't know who he is already, he's kind of our hometown boy as well. He's the guy with the purple hair.
Yeah,
he is. That we see everywhere in his sparkly outfits. He's been involved from the very beginning, right?
He has. He was in this building before we put up the walls. He was the first one to play in this building. I got to tell this story too.
Ides of March, everyone.
Ides of March, and of course the Survivor too.
Oh,
he founded the band Survivor too.
Singer songwriter, written lots of familiar songs that you know.
He's the writer of the songbook or songwriting for Dummies book.
Wow.
You know, he's the guy. He's written with everybody.
Okay, yeah.
So
he's
here. We asked him to be here because our first meeting was with like local dignitaries, the city council, and some other people. So we had a stage here, and we'd go up and do little speeches, and you know, this is what we're planning on doing. Well, I brought my guitar that day and I set it on the side of the stage and Jim walked over to me and whose guitar is that? I go, that's mine. He goes, do you think it'd be okay if I played something? I go, in my back of my head, I'm like, yeah, you kind of took my bait. So he went up there and he was the first one to perform in here on my guitar, which, you know, I'll never sell now.
Did he sign it for you?
No, not yet. I do have to ask him to do that.
Yeah.
But he came in here and just kind of rallied everybody that was here. And how, come on, played vehicle, you know. When he did that, the place lit up. Everybody sang along. Everybody sang the horn parts. He got him to do that.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah. So he had a great, you know, Jim, I always tease him. I said, if you look in the dictionary under rock star, you'll see a picture of Jim Peterick. He's that guy.
Yeah.
Just down to earth and really supportive.
So he's been a great ambassador for you guys from the beginning.
He has been. Yeah. And we have others too. Yourself.
Yes.
I can't thank you enough for all that you've done. You brought a lot of awareness to the radio world, to the DJs, and you've brought a lot of people to our Hall of Fame to participate. We owe you
it's a wonderful cause. I love music myself. Obviously, I come from a communication and performing arts and that kind of thing background. And it was really something that I thought that you're right, the Chicago and Illinois broadcasting world should know about as well, because that's a natural partnership.
Absolutely.
For sure. So I'm glad we got that platform going.
Yeah,
yes.
We honor the DJs and stuff from Illinois too. Absolutely. We have to. So thank you for your help on that, too. We have a new ambassador, Mitch Michaels, actually, from The River is on. We have, who else am I forgetting?
Joe Montagna.
Oh, Joe,
correct.
That's our new guy.
Who?
Joe
Montagna. Who was on my first podcast, by the way.
Yes.
But he has a history of playing music in Chicago as well.
Yeah, right? Funny story is I was out in the gallery here working, and one of the ladies came out of the office and said, some guy called for you, and they showed me the piece of paper that they took note on, and I said, is that Joe Montagna? And they go, yeah, do you know of him? And I go, are you kidding me?
How old are you?
Yeah, how do you not know Joe Montagna? So it's funny because they said, oh, he's probably calling for free tickets, right, to go to the Hall of Fame. I go, if he does, you give them to him. So, and I pulled out my phone and I pulled up a picture of Joe Montana and I showed him, and oh my God, that's him. Of course, yeah. They recognized him from
Agent Rossi.
Oh my goodness. Agent Rossi. And it goes on from Dean. Dean Martin in
Oh my God. The younger generation knows him from CSI. Yes.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry. Criminal Minds.
Criminal Minds.
Right.
I do the same thing. But, you know, so I go back into the office and I grab the number and I call that number and I get a hello. And I go, is this Joe Montana? Yeah, this is Ron from the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum. I said, just returning your call. Oh, good to hear from you. He's got that real smooth voice, which I could never imitate, but he's got that real smooth voice. And I said, before we go any further, is this the Joe Montana? And he goes, yep, one and the same.
Great.
And just from that voice, I'm like, oh my God, this is him. So he said he heard about our project. He liked what we were doing. He says, I don't know if you know this, but I used to play in a band. And I go, the Apocryphals. He goes, you know of my band? I go, of course I do. You know, it was a band in the 60s. Not major. You know, they didn't become the Beatles, but, you know, they had some records and stuff out too. But and the second call that I got from him, we talked about the museum for about 15 minutes and about another 30 or 40 minutes about bass guitars, because he's a bass player. So.
Nice.
And then at the end of the conversation, he said, I'm sorry to take up your time. I don't get the chance to talk to rock and roll to many people often. I go, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you're Joe Montana. Call me and talk about your cats if you like. I'm good with it. But great guy. Real nice guy to have on the board. We have a new one coming on that I haven't announced, but I'll make the announcement here on your show.
Please do.
Exclusive. Gentleman by the name of Chuck Colbert. You may not recognize the individual name, but he's played with American Breed. He's played with Chaka Khan and Rufus. He has such a resume that he's done musically. He came in here for our last big meeting that we had here and just loved the project and is willing to help out. And he's donated a song that he's written that we're trying to get help from Illinois artists to come in and sing a bit and piece, kind of like We Are the World kind of thing. The song is phenomenal. It's a great, very uplifting song. So that's our project for this year, is we're going to try to get some artists together and record those bits and pieces.
And you'd sell it to make money for this.
And he's donated 100% of the proceeds to the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum.
Oh, that is wonderful. You kind of buried the lead on that one, Ron. That's a great project.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
We call it burying the lead.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
So, he came in. He played this song for me. And it's a song called Where's the Love Gone? And his explanation is we're in a critical time, interesting time in our days, where everybody's so angry with everybody, and we shouldn't be. You know, we're all Americans. We're divided because of political stances, because of our religions, because of our race, and his point is why. You know, and I can't agree with them anymore. It's, well, why would that separate us? We're all Americans. So it's kind of one of those songs that's kind of uplifting and giving hope. And what we want to do is reach out to a lot of Illinois artists and see who will, you know, sing a line in the song and make it a big hit, we hope.
And, you know, in the end, music is one of the very few things that does unite everyone. In the end.
Absolutely. That's that's written in my business plan, that it's, you know, it's the music is the one thing that transcends our differences in race and religion and politics. We may not all agree in the same type of music. There's a quote that Lou Rawls said that, you know, even if we don't speak the same language, through music we can communicate. Kind of paraphrasing, but, you know, and it's very true. You know, you could just sit back and music can take you to a place where you've been years ago, where that was good or bad, or
very,
you know,
true.
Just a place to hide. Or that's why I'm in this project, is I love music so much. So.
All right, Ron, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
This project, and we look forward to your grand opening. And if anybody wants some information, they can go to roadtorock.org. Ron Romero, founder and CEO, and just the man.
King, president, whatever
King president you
president
of the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum and the Hall of Fame, all that good stuff. Thanks for joining us today, and we wish you luck in the future.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next week on Backstage Chicago, it's one of the most influential puppetry organizations in the world, and now it's bringing back the popular Chicago International Puppet Theater Festival. We'll talk to the festival's founder and to a Chicago puppeteer who's hoping to use his art and a certain furry friend to send an important message about race relations and social justice. Subscribe to Backstage Chicago on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.